The question of why Wheatley was able to break through to become a household name while others didn't is a complex question, because on the one hand, we don't know how many other potential writers, authors, poets there may have been in the later 18th century. We don't really know how much was written and never published. So there's a bit of a question as to how many others there were. Wheatley has obviously been canonized as the first in any number of ways, as a first African-American published writer, African-American published poet, African-American published woman poet, African-American published woman poet who's still a slave at the point of publication. And as I suggested earlier, the irony is that she was in a position to be patronized as a writer while she was a slave, but not after she was a freed woman, which again is one of those tragic ironies. So Wheatley was able to be broadcast, able to be connected to the abolitionist movement because of, if you like, white liberal guilt on the part of the Wheatleys and other citizens in Boston. Because also, I would say, her work was so incredibly accomplished and polished, and because the very fact that it existed was seen as really as just such a shock, breaking so many conventions. Alongside the poems and alongside the testament to the public and alongside the preface announcing that this is the work of Phyllis Wheatley, there is a copy of a letter sent by the author's master to the publisher. So John Wheatley's letter sent to the publisher, as in to Archibald Bell, the bookseller in Aldgate Street in London. And the letter goes, Phyllis was brought from Africa to America in the year 1761, between 7 and 8 years of age, without any assistance from school education, and by only what she was taught in the family, again, noticing how polite, genteel, benevolent the Wheatley family were. She, in 16 months' time from her arrival, attained the English language, to which she was an utter stranger before, to such a degree as to read any, the most difficult parts of the sacred writings, to the great astonishment of all who heard her. So Bible reading, Bible study would have been the first thing that she was meant to be devoted to, but her facility with language was clearly extraordinary. Wheatley goes on to say, as to her writing, her own curiosity led her to it, and this she learnt in so short a time that in the year 1765 she wrote a letter to the Reverend Mr. Ockham, the Indian minister, while in England. She has a great inclination to learn the Latin tongue and has made some progress in it. This relation is given by her master who bought her and with whom she now lives. So you can see the paradox there of ownership, proprietorship, the fact that she is regarded as a servant, as a slave, as an owned person, as chattel, and yet the great pride that Wheatley takes in her abilities, in her facility. So they were happy to promote her as extraordinary and to tell the story of her enslavement and of her youth and the fact that she knew no English and has been completely acculturated, assimilated with this incredible facility in English, in writing, in poetry, and even in learning Latin. So the extraordinariness, I think, is part of why she came to public attention. But also there is that paradox of a situation of slavery, which is so diametrically different from plantation slavery, the condition that most slaves in the United States were subjected to. Wheatley was in a comparatively and a relatively privileged position, but she certainly made the most of that. And I would say tried to use that position on behalf of her fellow slaves as well as on behalf of fellow Americans. As I say, there is also that anti-imperial kind of pro-colonial independence discourse going on in her work as well.